reading today is from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 56, and that's on page 723 in the Red Pew Bibles. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home.
Thank you, Ruth. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, as we consider your word, we thank you for it. We praise you that you have preserved this word for us, that we might know that Jesus is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. So, Father, we just pray that you would guide our hearts, guide our minds even now, and draw us closer to yourself. Father, may the words of my mouth be honoring to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, only 19 shopping days to Christmas. But I'm sure you've got it all in hand. Such a busy time, isn't it? But there's so much more to Christmas. Much more than lots of people, most people think. Today, some don't even call it Christmas. They prefer something like winter festive season. They just don't know what it's all about. Why we sing carols? Why we're so joyful? Why we give presents? Why family is so important at Christmas time? Why do we do all these things at Christmas? What lies at the heart of Christmas? Well, in the run-up to Christmas, we're going to see what the real heart of Christmas is by looking at four songs sung by some of those who were there and who were involved and celebrated Christmas like no other occasion. The songs are found in Luke's Gospel. And remember, Luke is a doctor writing a historical account within living memory of these events actually happening. Being a doctor, he's used to researching, he's used to seeking out facts, and his aim, chapter 1 and verse 4 tells us, is so that you, which includes us reading this morning, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. Luke's saying, these things are true. This is how it happened. Look and listen. God wants you and me to know the truth about what really happened through this baby who lies at the center, at the heart of Christmas. So we find Mary, a young woman, probably in her early teens, who's pregnant, visiting a relative, Elizabeth, who is much older, but also pregnant. But this is no ordinary event. They don't just sit down over coffee and discuss how the pregnancies are going before popping down to mother care to discuss prams. Elizabeth knows it. The baby inside her leaps. The baby inside her, who is to be John the Baptist, leaps for joy in her womb, we're told in verses 41 and 44. She knows this is special. The baby inside Mary's special. And Mary knows it too. Luke tells us in verses 28 to 38 that the angel Gabriel visited her with the news that she was to give birth to the baby they were to call Jesus. Because, verse 32, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Elizabeth says in verse 45, blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Mary believed that what the angel had said to her would come true. This is supernatural. And Mary's blessed, happy in her relationship with God. And so she bursts into song, which we've just read together, because her soul glorifies the Lord and her spirit rejoices in her God. But if you follow the song carefully, you'll see this isn't primarily a song about Mary. It's about God. Me and my appear 5 times. He, him and his appear 14 times, and it would be more if you put he in front of all the verbs. It's about God and what he's done. And this is the heart of Christmas. This is something God's done. It's what God's given. This morning, I want to do a Google map. We're going to zoom in from above the earth right down to your backyard. From the universal to the personal. From the God who gives his best for the world to the God who gives his best for Mary, for you, and for me. Firstly then, God is a universal God. God is a universal God. How many of you start reading newspapers from the back? Because that's where the real news is. The sports news, as opposed to whatever is at the front, fake or real. How many of us, when we're reading a whodunit, how many of us are tempted to have a sneaky peek at the end chapter to find out who done it? Before we read all the twists and the turns and the intrigue in the chapters in between, it's easy to understand if we know who done it, isn't it? Well, this morning, we're going to start at the end of Mary's song, because the first 3 verses depend on the final 5 verses. Mary glorifying the Lord is her response to what God has done. So, let's look at verses 54 and 55, where we see that God is a remembering God. God is a remembering God. We read, he has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and to his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. Well, you might be thinking, what's that got to do with me? My family line doesn't go back to Israel and to this man called Abraham. I come from a long line of Yorkshire farmers and labourers. So how does this include me? Bear with me. All will become revealed later on. Just a few moments. God is a remembering God. God remembers his people. The word translated remember here is much more than just a thought. Oh yes, I remember him or her, the things we used to get to do together, the scrapes we got into, the good times, the bad times. No, it's more than that. It's like when you think of someone from the past, you remember the fondness you once had for them, and you want to get in touch and meet up again, and you want to share things with them that have happened to you, and perhaps rekindle that relationship, that friendship, which was once so close. God remembers his people. He cares about them. He cares for them. In another place, the same word is translated as he pays special attention to them. God wants to be father to a son or a daughter. In her song, Mary looks back through God's dealings in history with his people. And she sings about this relationship in relation to the baby inside her, because she sees the cosmic implications of this baby being born. This is special. This is a special baby. And she links it to a conversation God had way back in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. God told Abraham to leave his home country and go to the land God showed him. God said, I will make you into a great nation. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. All peoples. This is universal. Mary sings from generation to generation. This isn't just about Israel. This isn't just about then. This is all peoples. Throughout all generations will be blessed because of her baby, conceived by the Holy Spirit of God. God remembers his people. He remembers his promise. His promise made to Abraham, yes, but applicable to all nations, all peoples of all nations from every generation, to all descendants of Abraham. Hang on, you say, but I'm not related to Abraham. Maybe not through ancestry. But verse 50 tells us that the true descendants of Abraham are those who fear God. In other words, those who believe in him, trust in him, and follow him. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says about this in Galatians 3, verses 6 to 9. Consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles, that is, non-Jews, by faith, and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. If we believe in God, as Abraham did, then we're regarded as his true descendants, spiritually. You have to ask yourself this morning whether this includes you. This is between you and God. Do you believe in the God who keeps the promise to bless all peoples? God remembers his people. God remembers his promise. And right through the Old Testament, we're reminded of this. The psalmist writes in Psalm 115, verses 12 and 13, "The Lord remembers us and will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel, who will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, small and great alike." This includes us. Remembering is not just a thought. God remembers and he blesses. He acts. He gives us Jesus. God is a merciful God. Mary sings that God remembers to be merciful, verse 54. He extends his mercy, verse 50, to those who fear him from generation to generation, to all who believe in him and trust in him and follow him. Down through history, God's people did have their enemies. They went away from God on many occasions. They were exiled from the land God had given them. But through the prophets like Micah and Isaiah, God told them he was going to bless them, bless all peoples through them in a special way. We read in Micah 7 verse 18, "Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgressions of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy." God is angry at sin. Sin is when we reject God and go our own way. God is angry at sin. But in his compassion and grace, he's remembered mercy. Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7 goes further. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever." And if you've read Luke chapter 1, this is echoed in the angel Gabriel's words to Mary in verse 32, isn't it? this baby that Mary was to give birth to was the promised Messiah and Saviour, the one who would take upon himself the punishment for the sins of all those who'd believe in him. God gave his best for the world. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God gave his Son, the second person of the Trinity. They'd always existed together, but now God would take on flesh because he remembers to be merciful to his people. God remembers his people. He remembers his promise. He remembers mercy. And the way he does that, the way he cares for us and attends to us and our need of a saviour, was to send Jesus, born of a virgin. And this is what Mary's believed. Verse 45. And so she sings this song. Do you believe and trust in the one who's brought God's blessing down to mankind? The one born as a baby? Do you believe he was born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit? Because if Jesus was Joseph's natural son, it'd be impossible for him to take away the sins of the world, because he'd have his own sins to pay for. He couldn't die for yours and mine. You have to believe Jesus was conceived by the Spirit of God and is the Son of God. Otherwise, your sins cannot be forgiven. Do you believe? God, the Holy and All-Powerful One, the Merciful One, is a world-changing God. Excuse me. He is a world-changing God. As Ian's been explaining to us in his series on the Beatitudes, God turns the world upside down. Mary remembers what God's done in the history of his people. Do you remember what he did to Haman and to Mordecai in the book of Esther that we looked at recently? What happened to Joseph and later to Pharaoh in Egypt? Remember, King Nebuchadnezzar was brought low to live like an animal, but God lifted Daniel up. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. It's verses 51 to 52. Where are the proud empires now? The Egyptians, the Greeks, the Romans, the British, brought low. All empires eventually lose their power and influence. The proudest empires and the proudest rulers are destroyed. Part of man's turning away from God is that we think we're the mighty ones. We're all powerful. And we deny that God is the mighty one, not us. That's the pride of man, the pride of man. But God lifts the humble, those who don't rely on themselves, but on him. He lifts up those who accept him as Lord and the mighty one. He sends the rich away empty. Have you noticed that such people are never satisfied with what they've got? Notice that? They still feel there's more. What they have is never enough. They must have more. But whatever they have, they still feel unfilled. There's an emptiness in their soul. They kid themselves that they can manage without God. The rich refuse to turn to him. They think they're mighty, and they go away empty. But God fills the hungry. Those who hunger for relationship with him, those who recognize that the best can only come from God's hand. The best and true fulfillment for eternity only comes when you see that God's gift of salvation is the way to true riches. God fills such people with good things. He gives the best. The hungry come to God knowing they need his help because they know the world can't give what Almighty God can give. And these people are filled. So this morning, we each one of us have to look at ourselves. Are you one of the proud, relying fully and totally on your own strengths and riches and resources and possessions? Perhaps you're now doubting whether that's the right way to think and live. Do you know deep down there's more to life than this? We long for a better world, don't we? But you won't find it here. C.S. Lewis wrote of an inconsolable longing in our hearts. He said, "If I find in myself a desire which no experience can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world." God created us, friends, for a better world. Jesus, the child born of Mary, is the way in. He wants to turn your world upside down. Are you ready to receive his mercy, to accept his way? See your need of him day by day. Come humbly to him. Believe and put your trust in Jesus. Receive his mercy. This is the best that could be given. This is what God gave, his best. As you're thinking about that, we move secondly on to see that we also see in Mary's song that God is a personal God. God, as well as being a universal God, is a personal God. The same attributes of God that we've been talking about also apply to his relationship with Mary, you and me, as individuals. A quick aside here. Mary's song is fed by Scripture. Mary's only a very young woman, but even at this tender age, she's familiar with God's word and his dealings with his people in the past. She understands the ways God deals with his people. She's traced his handiwork throughout history, what we have now as the Old Testament, and applies it here to herself. And this teaches us a vital lesson. Time spent in studying God's word is never misspent. Get to know it until it's part of you. God doesn't change. The ways he loves and cares, but also judges, remain the same. Get acquainted with God's ways through the Bible, because who knows, there may come a time when it's taken away from us. Let Scripture feed your faith. Morris said last week, "Minds need to be full of truth before our mouths speak out in joy." Our minds need to be full of the ways of God, the ways he deals with his people, the ways he cares for his people. That needs to be part of us. Let Scripture feed your faith. Coming back to the story. In verse 48, Mary sings, "For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant." God is mindful of her. He's remembering God. Same word. He pays special attention to her. He cares for her. He blesses her. From now on, all generations will call her blessed. He's mindful. He remembers her humble state, her humble condition. She is one of the humble that have been lifted up. Who'd have thought it? A young Jewish girl from Nazareth. God's servant, hungry for God and to serve him, now filled with good things. Notice how she speaks of God in verse 46. "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour." She calls him Lord and Saviour. She acknowledges that he is a merciful God. God is a merciful God. She recognizes she needs a savior. We've already seen that Mary believes the one to be born is the promised savior of the world. But she states very clearly here that he's also her savior. She does not regard herself as sinless. She feels the weight and guilt of her sin. She has no part to play in saving others. She needs saving herself. She's humble before God in seeking salvation for her sins, from her sins. If ever there was anybody who could have been proud, surely it would have been Mary. She was highly favored. She was to give birth to the Son of God. She was to be the earthly mother of the king whose kingdom would never end. How great a person was she? But she knows that she's a member of the kingdom of God. She belongs to the changed world, the new kingdom, God's kingdom. She isn't proud. She's humble. God could have chosen a queen or a princess, but he was mindful of her, a humble, God-fearing girl from Nazareth. Is she special? Yes, she was to give birth to the Son of God, verse 35. Is she valued? Yes, God was mindful of her and blessed her. But she knows it isn't because of who she is or what she's done. Look at verse 49. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. It's because of what God has done for her, what he's done inside her. She takes none of the glory for herself. She glorifies God. She rejoices in God. It's all about him. It's all about the one inside her, Jesus. Her life is significant, not because of who she is, but because God will do great things for his people through the one born to her. Let me say that again. Her life is significant not because of who she is, but because God will do great things for his people through the one born to her. And this reminds us, doesn't it? In the world's eyes, we Christians may seem insignificant. We're not royalty, not many of us. We're not celebrities. But in God's eyes, we're valued and valuable, not because of who we are in ourselves, not because of what we've done, but because of what God has done for us and in us and will do through us. If we're Christians, we're members of a new kingdom, God's kingdom. And each one of us has a valuable and significant part to play in talking of Jesus, whose spirit lives inside us. It's the one who lives within us who is the special one. Have you realized that? Do you glorify the Lord for that? Do you rejoice in God your Savior for that? Just like Mary. God remembers us. He's mindful of us and merciful towards us. He promised and has provided a Savior who changes lives. He turns them upside down. God is personally involved in men's, women's and children's lives. He's not far away. He's close. He's mindful of everything about you and me. Everything. God gives his best. He gives you value. No matter how you're seen by the world. You don't earn it. You don't work for it. But he gives freely the gift of a Savior and a new life in a new kingdom to all who come to him by faith, humbly asking forgiveness for sins. And that is the heart of Christmas, God's best gift, because it's what we all really, really, really need. We need a Saviour. We need to turn from our life rejecting Him and come and humbly accept Him. Mary glorifies her Lord and rejoices in God her Saviour. He's all-knowing, all-caring, all-powerful, and He's the centre of her life. How about you? God's given His best, and we should be really excited about Christmas, about Jesus coming into the world, because we get to glorify the Lord and rejoice in God our Saviour, the one who was promised, the one who was born of Mary, the one who takes away the sin of those who come to Him, the one who promises eternal life to all who believe in Him. Do you know Him as your Saviour? Is the one who lies at the heart of Christmas at the centre of your life? In the last book of the Old Testament, written 400 years before Jesus' birth, the prophet Malachi wrote these words: "Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in His presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored His name. They will be mine, says the Lord Almighty, in the day when I make up my treasured possession. I will spare them, just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him." And you will see again the distinction between those who serve God and those who do not. Is your name written in God's book of remembrance? Will He be mindful of you when Jesus comes again to take His people as His treasured possession? Will you know mercy then? Will your world be transformed forever? You need to understand the heart of Christmas. Receive God's best and most precious gift. Don't leave it unopened. We said at the beginning, Luke wrote these things down so you could believe. Do you? Love came down at Christmas. What's your response? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for Jesus. We thank You for what we remember at Christmas time, that Jesus was born as a babe. He was God become man, fully God, yet fully man. And we know, Father, the things that You have achieved through Him. You have blessed all peoples from all nations, from all generations, through Him and what He has done for us. Mighty things have been done by Your hand. Father, help us to respond to these things. Help us to search our hearts, to know the working of Your Spirit, guiding us closer to Yourself. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.